baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
Wire and another one. My goodness.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, man. I have my one of my first virtual shows on Saturday here.
I'm aware, and I'm excited for it.
Yes. And I have no idea what it is, but you started to talk about it all excitedly, and now it's this snatch game from RuPaul's Drag Race. I've never seen an episode in my life.
I love Drag Race. It's like, it's my favorite show in the world, honestly. My brother is, he's not a drag queen, but he's gay, and he loves it too, and he's been trying to talk me into starting a Drag Race podcast with him, so... when I saw your post saying that you were going to be participating in this snatch game drag race comedy show.
Yeah, you messaged me
right
away.
What is this?
Like, I don't even know what this is.
I was so much more excited than you were, which is hilarious. But I'm sure anybody that's listening either has no idea what we're talking about, or if they do, they're so excited too.
Are like, oh boy, Scott's in for something this Saturday.
Exactly. Yeah. So typically there is a celebrity impersonation component to that. Are you aware of that? Are you going to be doing something?
I was sort of briefed on that, which is funny because I am like, impersonations has nothing to do with my stand-up comedy. I am not good at them. Well, that's, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
That's kind of the fun of it on Snatch Game too, is that some of the impersonations are spot on and great, but most of them are awful, and that's half the fun. So don't worry about it, just have fun with it, and the more you lean into your character, the better it'll be. But you'll do great, and I'm excited to watch, so I've already got my tickets.
Okay, so I haven't planned a super smooth transition to go from drag to baseball.
Okay.
So let's call this the transition.
Sounds good. Nice transition.
Back to the baseball after a day off yesterday for the Blue Jays. They are 11-12 right now.
I feel like we've played half as many games as the rest of the AL East. Like, we've had so many off days.
There are a few games in hand. Yeah, we are behind most of those teams in the AL East by a game or two.
Honestly, probably a good thing with our rotation injuries.
With all the injuries and stuff? Oh, my goodness. And we'll get into the rotation shortly. Our interview today, our guest...
Really
is Scott Crawford, and I'm so excited to air this interview. We chatted with him about a month back, maybe 6 weeks back. He is the head of operations for the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in St. Mary's. And it was just such a phenomenal chat. Honestly, the guy's knowledge on baseball in this country was a little bit mind-blowing, and I didn't really know that the history of the game kind of went as far back in Canada's roots as it does. Like, we'll let him get into all the history stuff, but my God, like, the game's been around this country for over 100 years, which was surprising to me. And then we also are chatting with Arden Zwelling of Sportsnet at noon today. So if you're listening to this right now, we're probably interviewing him as you're listening to this, and we will release that a little later in the day as well. So you can check that out. Arden Zwelling, Blue Jays insider. So we'll get all the up-to-date info on the Jays. That'll be out. My guess is 2 or 3.
Yeah, mid-afternoon. It'll be
time,
out.
Mid-afternoon.
It'll be a good little...
You know, a little before the game, Eastern time.
A little lead-up to the game. So,
awesome. So, welcome to the walk-off. I just want to reach out and mention to everyone out there who has ever subscribed on our YouTube page, the Walk Off Podcast, has ever liked a post or commented on a post. Thank you so very much. We actually hit 500 subscribers yesterday.
Very cool.
Which is mind blowing, man.
Cool. Yeah, no, it's I never thought we'd hit this milestone in less than a year. So, and
the fact we started pushing this on YouTube in January. Yeah. And we're already at 500 in 4 months is absolutely crazy. Our listenership on the podcast side of things, so if you're downloading stuff from Spotify or Apple, wherever you're getting your podcast, our downloads have quadrupled in the last 4 months, which is very exciting as well. So thank you there. All right. There's the humble thank yous for listening. Let's get into some Blue Jays stuff, man. We're going to see some old faces today as the Jays head to Atlanta. Alex Anthopoulos, former GM, right? Devin Travis, former second baseman. Of course, he's now in the coaching ranks in the Atlanta system. He's not with the Braves, but I think he's working at AA right now.
Yeah.
And of course, we kind of mentioned off the top that pitching for the Blue Jays currently is one giant question mark.
Yes.
Hyunjin Ryu was supposed to be fine after he was pulled from his last start in the fourth. He had a little bit of discomfort, and then he approached the media later in the day saying he thinks it's nothing. Well, it turns out it is something. We're still not sure on the actual severity. It's still supposedly very minor, and he's going to miss one start. His stint on the IL has been retroactive, so they were able to, you know, push it a few days earlier.
Yeah, that is a good point. I mean, when you hear he gets put to the 10-day DL, you know, what first comes to mind is, okay, he's out for 10 days, but it's like, wow, he's out for...
It's out for seven,
and he's only going to miss one start in that period. So
he'll miss one start. But the problem with that is that the Blue Jays right now are rolling with a three-man rotation. So you lose one and a two-man rotation, you're getting pretty thin there.
Basically, we have two bullpen days and then 3 days where we hope for a rain out.
Like, this is where we're at right now, is asking the baseball gods for favors.
Right?
So Robbie Ray gets the start tonight. Tomorrow is a bullpen day, according to Montoya. And then Sunday, question mark. Not sure what's happening there. Still unaware of whether they're going to try and piece together a second bullpen day, whether they're going to call someone up from the alternate site. I don't know what's going to happen. Honestly, even at the alternate site, things are thin currently.
We did get somebody added to the alternate site recently. His name rhymes with Pate Nearson.
That's true. Nate Pearson has been activated. He's headed to Trenton to get some game time starts.
So he's still a ways away, but it is encouraging that
he is still probably 10 days away from being added to this Blue Jays
Ryu again before we see Pearson.
Before Pearson, you're right. But it is exciting that he's back. Now, he had a start yesterday that didn't go very well. He was knocked out in the second inning, but he did get 66 pitches in. And really, that's all that matters. I know. It doesn't sound
great.
I know it doesn't sound good.
66 pitches in 1.5 innings.
But he's building his arm back up. So that's good news. Let's ignore the results. Because simulated games at the alt site don't really matter.
This is true.
And you know that he's just in spring training mode currently, where he's trying his pitches. He feels 100% healthy, so that's good news. His fastball is hitting the high 90s, so that's good news. His secondary stuff looks very sloppy, according to some of the reports. Almost to be expected. I mean, the guy hasn't pitched to live batters since the beginning of spring, so this is all just getting him back into shape. Springer was back on Wednesday. He made his debut against the Washington Nationals, and it was a disappointing game. Here's the thing. The Blue Jays, with a bullpen day on Tuesday, kicked the crap out of Max Scherzer and the Nationals. I mean, as a fan, it's hard not to be like, oh, we beat Maximus. Yeah. Like, we're going to roll over them the next game. And then Fetty came out for the Nationals and pitched a gem. He looked amazing. The Jays lost 8-2. Well,
and Max has been good for us, but kind of got spanked around a bit.
He did, but I'll be honest, I don't even blame Steven Matz. He had some incredibly bad luck in that game. Just pitches that he was hitting his spot, and then they'd make a great connection to the bat and get a hit. There were some definite questionable calls. I know there was one strike three that was pretty much right down the middle. Like, it was 6 inches from being outside up high, and it was called high.
Yeah.
And then the next pitch, he puts it in play, and a bunch of runs wind up scoring. But anyways, there's always what ifs and stuff. Right. However, to see Steven Matz's ERA go from 236 to 4 in that outing,
yeah,
and it not be all that deserved was a little disappointing. Yeah. That said, it's good too. Matz didn't blow up, right? Like,
yeah,
every pitcher in baseball is going to experience days like that where their stuff is working for them, and for whatever reason, it's just like the baseball gods have decided it's not your day. So
this is one thing with the Jays, though, and I think that maybe that series against the Nationals kind of exemplifies it, but we play down to the strength of our opponent. You know? Like, we do...
Sure does get frustrating to see,
it. Sure does, and it's concerning because our next 3 weeks, basically everybody we play is below 500. So that's an opportunity to win 14 out of 18 games, and if we coast through at 500, it's sure going to be disappointing.
The month of May is going to put the Jays on the map, I get the feeling. There's a lot of teams they're playing, like you said, that are below 500. Even the divisional rivals they're playing. We've played the Yankees a bunch, mm-hmm, so we're going to start seeing some Baltimore games, which is always a good thing. We're going to start seeing some more games against the Red Sox and Rays. So there's a lot of ground that can be made up here. By the end of May, the standings are going to look 100% different, and it is going to be interesting to see where things land. Springer coming back for the Jays is huge. Teoscar was just activated off the IL, off the COVID IL this morning. So he's going to be in the lineup playing right field today against the Braves. So that is going to lengthen this lineup. Now, I'm not expecting George Springer and Teoscar Hernandez to jump back into the season and be where they were at last year. Okay, both of them put up huge numbers. Both of them have carried their teams, and I love that Springer is finally playing for the Jays and made his debut and stuff. We may be a week or two away from seeing them contributing offensively like we were hoping they would. A little bit of patience to let them get their timing at the plate, but the fact they're back on this roster is absolutely huge. And it's nice to see it thrown in the face a little bit of all the fans who had big tantrums Tuesday after George Springer was supposed to start on Tuesday and then he didn't. And my goodness, I mean, if Twitter's ever a cesspool, it's when something doesn't go the way of Blue Jays Twitter and then you get to see people lose their minds. So it was nice to see Springer come out the next day. He is going to wind up DH-ing quite a bit. We're not going to see him in center field to start, which is fine. Randall Grichuk is 100% very capable in center. And I don't even think Springer is an upgrade. It's probably defensively, a move, yeah, sideways. Probably a, I think, move. Both Grichuk and Springer are good center fielders. Let's talk Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Okay. Now, we'll move away from some of the negativity and we'll talk our shining light.
I like this.
Vladdy has been incredible, man. And this is a little question for you, okay? How long into the season do you need to see Vlad continue to perform like he's performed?
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Before this front office goes out and offers him $350 million to sign a contract for 10 to 12 years. Do they do that come August, September, or even in the offseason?
I sure feel better about that this year than I do last year.
Me too. This is a question we'll ask Garden Dwelling as well, but I just wanted to get your take on where you are. And I know it's early in the season, but Vladdy truly, honestly, I'm doubting less and less that this is a hot streak and more that this is just, obviously he's hot. I'm not even saying that he's going to hit 350, but I truly do believe this kid is a 320 hitter who's going to put up 30 bombs and 100 and some RBIs. And I think this is just where he is now.
Yes. I mean, the skeptic in me wants to say, well, it's just April, small sample size, whatever. Mm-hmm. Except that realistically, I mean, the sample size dates back a decade with him. You know, he's been a superstar at every level forever. He, you know, had one bad season that was still pretty good, right?
That's the thing, is his numbers since he's being brought up to the major leagues, it's above average play. You know, like, he's still an above average player. He just didn't live up to how highly touted he was until now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the contract, but I'm, as I have always been, all in on Vladdy. Like, I know there was,
yes,
you know, you go back to the Twitter cesspool of people wanting to trade him before he lost all his value and stuff, right? Like, people are outrageous. Yeah. That was never a good idea. But I think now that we have seen that, you know, the weight loss was a big thing, right? Just in terms of, like, showing the kind of character that he has, right? And that's...
I think that's a great point, dude. Just the...
Yeah, that's the biggest thing that I'm happy to see. Like, I'm glad the numbers and the results are following suit. But the biggest thing is, like, it's... I feel okay giving out a huge contract knowing that at least he's got it in him, that he can...
Bust his ass, do what it takes to
be in the Acuña, Soto, Tatis conversations, right? Like, he wants to be at that level, and he's got the tools to do it. So it's nice to know that he's also got it up here to make it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money to hand out to a first baseman, but...
It is a lot of money to hand out to a first baseman. But do you get him for less than that? I mean, if this is who Vladdy is, do you get him for less than that?
I don't know.
I don't either. It's going to be really interesting to see with all these teams kind of locking up their young stars long term where the Jays land on this. But only time will tell. And again, we will ask the experts in Arden Zwelling and see what he thinks. But
this will be my last thing. I would feel better about giving him a big contract at first than I would about giving Bo a big contract at shortstop.
And Vladdy's been in the league longer. Vladdy's played 200 major league games. Today will be Bo Bichette's 90th game.
Wow. So,
makes sense. Okay, let's talk minor leagues because... They're finally firing up here, and all the affiliates have kind of been decided as to where guys are going.
Can I just half pump the brakes here? On our way to the minor leagues, I think we should address the fact that with the return of Teoscar, with the return of Springer, we did see Rowdy Tellez get optioned down.
Yes.
I guess reason being is he had an option left.
I think that
Panic was out of options. Davis is out of options, right?
Yeah.
So for those that are wondering what options are, basically in your contract as a minor leaguer, you have the ability to get sent down, called up, sent down, called up, I think 3 times.
Yes.
And after that, once you're out of options, you have to clear waivers in order to be sent
down. Which means the other 29 teams in the league have the chance to grab you, and Rowdy would be...
easily taken.
I mean, that's the thing. Both Jonathan Davis and Joe Panic would be gone instantly. So I think the Jays are just... this is asset management, which sucks for Rowdy because he was finally starting to heat up. You were starting to see him put the ball in play a lot more. You were seeing that power that he's been touted for years. He's that big lefty bat, and he's really the only big lefty bat on the Jays currently. I mean, Cavan and Panic both hit left, but, I mean, neither of them hit with the power that Tellez does.
So with Rowdy getting sent down, just in terms of, like, a for Rowdy, how big of a deal do you think that is?
Oh, I think this is a big deal to Rowdy. I can't see it not being anything but a little bit of a slap in the face. But, I mean, this is where – this is – I truly believe this is the type of player Rowdy is going to be his entire career, is underestimated and playing second fiddle to a lot of the guys in this Toronto core. And the truth is we could see Rowdy moved at some time in the next year or so and really break out with wherever he goes, because what that guy needs is playing time. And he hasn't been seeing a lot of it on the Jays. And I can't see a scenario where he gets a ton of playing time when you've got Vladdy at first base and four everyday outfielders that you're trying to cycle through the DH spot.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think Rowdy is going to be the odd man out. I think he's going to get his likelihood of being traded this season, for me, just skyrocketed with that move.
Yeah.
He does have, like you said, if he was to get called up and sent back down again, he's going to get claimed on waivers for sure, right? Just because of the upside, being a left-handed hitter, right? Like, there's going to be a team that will take him just to have a power left-handed bat in their lineup, right? Like the Dodgers or whoever. 100%. Will be like, oh, yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah.
Reason I think he might get traded too, I mean, on top of the fact that, like, he doesn't really have a spot on the team with Vladdy being the everyday first baseman now, is now that he is out of options, how the Jays have to be really confident next time they call him up.
That's right? True. That's a very good point, because
this will be his last chance.
Ability to send him down.
If he gets hot in AAA and they're like, all right, let's bring him up, they can't just send him down for free anymore. Like, they have to be paused, like, whatever they see. And I think he's going to be down in AAA, unfortunately, for a while. And when he does.
Well, I don't think Rowdy's up until someone gets injured, in all honesty. And it's
no matter how well he does.
No matter how well. And the truth is that if it's an outfield injury, you're still not going to see him, because guys like Josh Palacios still have options where you can send him up and down. That's the thing,
is he won't get called up as a short-term rental band-aid kind of a bridge anymore. No. Like that, those days are done. Yeah. And I think that hasn't necessarily been talked about yet. And I think that's something that people need to understand when he's hitting 345 in AAA and Joe Panic is hitting 210. And they're like, well, why aren't we bringing Rowdy up?
Well, because unfortunately, Rowdy plays the least versatile position.
And he has that value. Like, I think we could trade Rowdy as part of a package. Package him together.
Rowdy does have
with
value.
An Alec Manoah. Absolutely. And get an absolute stud ace pitcher back. Whereas packaging Jonathan Davis or Panic with anybody is going to be like,
gets you nothing.
No thanks. We don't even want him. That's just just going to cost an extra plane ticket. We'd rather not
have him. Because Rowdy is still only 25.
That's the thing, right?
Has huge power and a big left-handed bat. And he plays first base incredibly well. He's not Justin Smoke there, but he is an above-average first baseman defensively.
Absolutely. So
now you did just mention Manoah. So let's go over where a lot of these guys have been put. So let's start with AAA.
Okay.
So Alec Manoah and Riley Adams have been sent to AAA. So the Buffalo Bison, where they will be playing in Trenton, New Jersey, because the Jays are going to be in Buffalo.
This is funny. Like, I know where all the minor league teams are, but as these announcements were getting made and, you know, we're friends with all these guys on Twitter and Instagram and stuff, and I'm seeing them post pictures of their flight to Oregon or Trenton, and I'm texting you. I'm like, what team is here? You're what, like, team where? Is there? Because I'm like, I know where these guys are going, but I don't know what level that is anymore. Such chaos.
So Alec Manoah and Riley Adams are with AAA Buffalo in Trenton. Joey Murray also going to AAA. I know you were messaging with him just a couple days ago, and he was saying that he's got a little bit of an injury tweak or something like that, correct?
Nothing serious, but he did kind of get hurt in his last start. But as soon as he's done rehabbing, he'll be a starter in AAA.
He's staying at the alt site in Florida currently, but then as soon as he's feeling up to it, he heads to Trenton, and he's pitching starting pitcher for the Buffalo Bison. Double A, we're going to see Austin Martin, which I love seeing Martin in Double A. I was
skipping Single A altogether.
I was sort of convinced they were going to start him with the Vancouver Canadians in A ball in High A, but I love that they're pushing him. Jordan Groshans, friend of the show. Of course, you can see his episode up on our YouTube channel, The Walk-Off Podcast, if you so choose to. And we'll probably have him back on here sometime throughout the summer. Hopefully, we can have a few of these guys back on. Simeon Woods-Richardson is another guy that caught a lot of the fans.
Got on the radar.
Some fanfare from the fans. He looked really good this spring. He is starting in AA, which is fantastic. Gabriel Moreno, top catching prospect, is starting at AA. And then Otto Lopez is also starting at AA. Single A, friend of the show, Adam Klopfenstein, is going to be a Canadian again. This time, now they've been bumped up to high A, so it's not the low A affiliate anymore. It's the high A, so he's going to Vancouver, which is playing their games out of Oregon.
Technically a promotion.
Because of the border problem.
Same team.
That's right. CJ Van Eyck, another guy who's been on the show. Love CJ. He's also going to the Canadians. And then in low A, we're going to see Aralvis Martinez, Miguel Geraldo, Leo Jimenez, Zach Britton, friend of the show, Zach Britton. Of course, he is going to, which is awesome, he is going to, we'll air his interview sometime in the next week or two, is my guess.
We got a pretty good backlog of some pretty good guests we got to get through. So.
We do. We do have a pile of guests to get through. So that's what the minor leagues is shaping up as, and it's pretty exciting stuff that it's up and going, and it does give the Jays a lot more opportunity to continue player development, something that was a struggle last year. So I think we're going to see guys like Martin stay in double A all season. I know Austin Martin is everyone's fave. Jordan Groshans has a lot of fanfare. I think both of them stick around double A for most of the season. I think we could see Groshans in triple A much more likely than Austin Martin, just because Groshans has played some pro ball, whereas Martin hasn't played above college until this spring training. So, I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, it kind of piqued my interest when I saw that both of our top shortstop prospects are going to be playing on the same team. So does that mean competition at shortstop, or does that mean Martin's going to be transitioning to the outfield?
No, I honestly, man,
they play, is one of them going
to everyone keeps talking about Martin transitioning to center field. I think they're going to just keep running him out there as a shortstop and third baseman, and they're going to see where, like, I think Jordan Groshans and Austin Martin are going to get a lot of time at both third and short, and I think that they're going to alternate back and forth. I think they're going to even see what kind of chemistry the two can develop on the left side of the infield. I mean, let's talk about the left side of the infield with the Jays. It has not looked good.
Is this a sneaky preview of shortstop and third base of the Blue Jays of the future?
Is this what it looks like in 2023? Only time will tell.
Stay tuned.
All right, my man. Did you have any Blue Jays stuff to add?
No, that we've basically covered everything that I was.
Okay. Well, before we throw to Scott Crawford of the Baseball Hall of Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, I did wish to touch on Bryce Harper very quickly. Man, what a scary moment. Okay, Here's the thing. Both you and I have agreed that of all the faces in Major League Baseball, Bryce Harper has the most punchable face. He took a 97-mile-an-hour fastball in the face the other day. And it was scary, man. It like just he couldn't get out of the way. Like, it was just such a poorly thrown pitch, which is very cool because he reached out to the pitcher just yesterday and was like, hey man, like, I'm feeling better. I know I missed last game, like, no structural damage, shit happens, no big deal. Very big of him. I'm sure the pitcher was feeling awful about it because it wasn't intentional. There was no in-game animosity or anything that caused this. This was just like he should have had more pine tar on his hands, I guess. But oh boy, 97 miles an hour right in the face, and it was like he was punched. Like, you should, I watched the replay so many times. Great. Yeah. Especially once I found out he was okay, then I'm like, okay, well, I can enjoy this now. Yeah.
I mean, that's the number one rule with all those YouTube fail videos. As long as you know the person didn't die, the worst, the crazy yeah. wipeouts are the funniest things to watch. So when you know that he's fine and watching him get hit, watching his nose get rearranged in slow motion, pretty funny.
Yeah.
Still wouldn't want that to happen. And I wouldn't wish that to happen to anyone ever again.
Agreed. So the last thing around Major League Baseball that I wish to touch on that I just got a little bit of a kick out of is Tyler Glasnow, of course, the stud ace for the Tampa Bay Rays. He missed a pitch and walked a guy the other day, and he just screamed out the F word. And then later that day, after the game, his phone blew up from his mom, who was horrified that her son has screamed out the F word. So he had to, in the press conference later that day, he was like, yeah, I just wish to apologize for screaming. I know kids are watching. My mom really, really tore one into me.
That's so great. I love everything about that story.
It's just funny to me. It's like, oh yeah, like these kids.
They're still people.
Like, they're still people, and their moms are watching, and they're like, you know, judging what they're saying and yeah. stuff more than even their performance. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's very good.
All right, everybody, we're going to call it there. Thank you so much for listening. Always appreciate it. You can check out our YouTube channel. All of our interviews and stuff are there, including Arden's Dwelling, which will be up later in the day. That is the Walk Off Podcast on YouTube. Please hit subscribe if you're there and you're enjoying it. You can follow us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, on Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast. We've got a big contest coming up shortly. All the details will be revealed online. Again, thank you so much and enjoy this interview with Scott Crawford of the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack. Join us for a new episode next Monday.
Osborne with a drive. Jesus Christ.
Chose to pitch to